We turn to Numbers chapter 24, and we will finish the chapter today, verses 14 through 25. We will also finish this long section of this story of Balak trying everything he can do to curse the church, curse the nation Israel, God's people, through Balaam, whom he hires and brings from a long distance out of Mesopotamia. He's like the famous seer, prophet, who can curse or bless and be effective. And God is speaking through him, but not what Balaam wants to say and not what Balak wants to hear. And even though Balak tries to send Balaam away at the end of the last oracle, Balaam says, I've got something else to say to you. I can't not say it. God has come upon me, and I have more I have to say to you that you don't want to hear. And in particular today, he's going to preach Jesus Christ as the king. It's an amazing prophecy here that I'm excited to look at with you. I'm thinking of something that Rachel said, I think this week, when we go to class day. She's taking a government class and also reading the news and apologetics. In one of those classes, the same teacher said, what is the gospel? And the standard things that you would think would be said were offered as, this is what the gospel's about. But the teacher said, and essentially rightly so, the gospel is about the kingdom of God. And remember that it says Jesus began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. So it really all does come down to one nation under God through Jesus Christ the King in the end. And that's going to mean all other nations have to bow, get out of the way, or bow down before him, kings and nations. And that prophecy is going to be coming out today. We turn to it now, Numbers 24, verses 14 to 25. Hear now the word of God and the prophecy of your Lord and your King, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. And Balak also went his way. Well, that's kind of the end for them in a sense. That's just the story of their end. They don't have a good future ahead of them, very clearly in this prophecy. But the church has an amazing future. We looked at that last week. The future was unfolding before the church. This last oracle, this is the fourth, although it kind of has many oracles in it. This last oracle is also about the future of the church, but it's looking further into the distance, far into the distance. It will stop along the way, as prophecy always does. There's partial fulfillment in this history, but there'll be complete fulfillment in the coming of Christ. And Balaam today is going to take us far into the distance and help us look into the finality of your future, into the last days, into the last day, into the eternal day. This vision is enlightened by the coming of the conquering Jesus Christ. May he give you an eyes and ears for it. This oracle is teaching you. He started to talk about it a little bit last week, this kingship coming. But particularly today, it's drawn out. King Jesus will defeat all earthly kingdoms to give his people a completely secure future. Now, think about the irony of that as it relates to King Balak. He wants Balaam to curse the church. And of course, it's out of the church that King Jesus will come, the King of Kings. You see, Satan's really behind this. Let's destroy the church, and then King Jesus won't come, and then Satan can rule the world forever. Remember, Satan's the one pretty much running the world. Jesus Christ comes to expand his kingdom and start to destroy that rule and take it over. So King Balak wants security for his people, and we see today he's sent away with absolutely no security. In fact, he learns his own people will be destroyed by this king that will come out of Israel. On the opposite, Jesus is saying, but I will preserve my church. I will secure for my people a completely final and enduring kingdom where there'll be no danger of ups and downs, no danger of destruction. Last week, the message was the church has a flourishing future and had that garden imagery and even that powerful imagery of the unicorn or some kind of huge beast trampling over its foes and the lion, this time both of them being satisfied, and that idea of they're going to take Canaan over. But we even looked ahead to the finality of that. And today, this oracle goes even further past that. It'll have a little bit to do with the days of Israel, but it's going to look far further into the finality of not only a flourishing future for the church, but a lasting one, a kingdom that will never end. Balak's kingdom is going to end. The kingdom Balaam goes back to is going to end. These other kingdoms are going to be taken over with the Davidic dynasty. And in the end, the son of David, Jesus Christ, will bring a finality to it all for his church. Christ has secured for his church a final future. That's the encouraging oracle today for you. And they needed it, and you need it, because you still have to go through these days into the last day. And when you don't feel like your future is secure, that can really affect how you feel and how you act. So see today that Christ has secured your final future. That's the message for you today. Christ has secured your final future. So you don't need to worry about anything else along the way, because your future is completely settled. Christ has, O church, secured your final future. The kingdom of heaven will defeat the kingdoms of this world. Think about how a sports team, if it could look ahead into the future and see that it would be a dynasty, it would keep trying. And we have these sports teams that are spoken of dynasties. Why? Because they just keep winning every year. And when they get that mentality of being a dynasty, they'll say it's actually easier to win because you just have this understanding that you're good and you're going to win. It's much harder for those other teams to start to try to win because they have such a culture of losing. But when you know you are a dynasty, you just keep winning every year. You have that sense of encouragement and confidence. And that's what this oracle is about today for the church. You will be a dynasty. Only your dynasty won't have a period of life to it, and then you have to start recruiting again and try to get the dynasty back. Your dynasty is being built, and it is secure. It will be a final, completed dominion over the world. This is a vision from Balaam today as he closes everything, what it's really about. Where is this all going? Yes, the church is going into the promised land, but ultimately it's going into the eternal promised land when Jesus Christ comes and ushers in a new kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness reigns. So verses 17 through 24 is about domination over all the other kingdoms. That's the imagery, and those are the prophecies given. We won't go through all the details, but these are things, some that have said before, some in the future, and a lot of this is going to happen in the Davidic dynasty when they start to take over the promised land. The church is going to have victory. The nation of Israel is going to have temporal victory. It's going to grow. It's going to advance. It's the opposite of what Balak wanted. The opposite of what he wants is what God says Israel will do to him. Balak wants to destroy Israel, but in fact, Israel will destroy him. Look at and all nations. Verse 14 to begin with. Let's look at that again. Now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Let me tell you what this people that you've been trying to curse is going to do to your people. This is the same message for you today as the people of God, as the people of this world are always trying to curse you and take you out. Let me show you, church, what you're going to actually do to them in the end. Verse 18, Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. All of this imagery, they're going to take out all these other nations. Not only in the promised land, but those who try to come in and take the promised land later, ultimately they're going to have world domination. But it's going to be typified by their taking dominion over the promised land. Most of these victories that are spoken of here in these prophecies will come true in the reign of King David. So it won't happen immediately, although they will start to go in and take over the land. Particularly, you read about him taking over, King David, taking over these nations in 2 Samuel chapter 8. That's when this prophecy particularly starts to come to fruition, but only in part. David writes and he sings about such kind of victories in Psalms 60 and Psalm 108. Moab is my washpot. Well, Moab is the people of Balak today. Israel will have its victories in Canaan, but especially when King David comes. But notice the bad news for Balak. First of all, I guess the good news is it's not going to happen right away. It won't be taken out right now. But notice in verse 17, the nation of Moab will be taken out. It will be destroyed. Israel is going to destroy his people. And that will develop in the victories in Canaan, but it'll especially happen with King David when he brings national dominion over the nations. King David will typify Jesus Christ in the first coming. He will just begin to bring dominion over all of this area by destroying all these other nations. King Solomon typifies Jesus Christ in the second coming, when there will be peace and a golden era. None of these things last forever, but a lot of this does happen according to Balaam's prophecy today. But it did take time. It can often take time. But God will give you the victory. This world is fading away, and the kingdom of heaven is advancing, and the world and the gates of hell can't stop it. And you have victory already over the principalities and the rulers of darkness of this world, according to Ephesians. You already have that, Ephesians 6. You have authority. You have victory over these things. The greatest foe, the biggest nations or kingdoms that are against you, Satan's kingdom and the principalities and powers in heavenly places, you already have that victory. Revelation 20, verse 6, you're told in Jesus Christ, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, what did the 1,000 years represent? The perfect time in God's plan and providence between the first and second coming of Christ. So right now, Jesus Christ is reigning, and right now his church is reigning, growing, taking victory, and conquering the kingdoms of this world, namely the kingdom of Satan. And because of this, that you're reigning even right now with Jesus, you have the victory. Because of this, you will reign forever with Jesus and get the final victory. You're going to win your battles along the way because you are going to win the war. Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 5 says, God hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Indeed, the gospel is about the kingdom. We shall reign on the earth. This is the oracle today. Because of Jesus Christ, we shall reign. The church will have victory. Though the church often looks like it's going to be destroyed and everything's against it, the church will have its victory. Remember that all this time, Balak's been trying to get Balaam to curse the church, and he can't do it. God will only speak blessings upon the church. And Balaam and Balak are trying to get away from this one, but he can't stop. Balaam's taken over again. Balak, who says, get away from me, has to hear, wait a minute, I got another thing for you. One more thing I'm going to tell you before you leave. This nation, the church of God, will destroy you. The kingdom of heaven will defeat the kingdoms of this world, because King Jesus will deliver the church and give her total dominion. King Jesus will deliver the church and give her total dominion. Stop and try to take that in for a minute and how good that will be. I have heard some of you speak about it just in our shepherding visits. This world's getting worse and worse. It looks like the kings and the nations of this world are taking everything over. Be encouraged. King Jesus will deliver the church and give her total dominion, and there will be no wicked world. There will be no evil kings. There will be no evil kingdoms. There will be one nation under God and of his Christ, and it will be righteous. Because of King Jesus. Military victories reflect strong, wise, courageous leadership. This is why they're so happy to have King David. And what do they say? They praise him for all these victories and kinging all these 10,000s. He is the king who brings the victory. The kings, especially in that time, like King David, they went out and they led these military conquests. And that's the way it is with King Jesus. He is leading. And he will lead the final victory. The victory of the church over the world is so certain and final because of Jesus Christ, God's Messiah. And that's the prophetic voice we want to look at particularly today, verses 17 and 19. The church has its victory, but it's because of its king that comes out of it. Verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Isn't that powerful? The first kingdom mentioned that will be destroyed is the very kingdom that Balak is representing today. But this is about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. So much of the book of Revelation giving encouragement to the church is that Jesus Christ will destroy Babylon, which is the kingdoms of this world, the false religions of this world. He will destroy them and send them into the lake of fire. And the new heavens and the new earth will be pristine again, and his people will inherit and rule it forever. It's just like they're going to take over Canaan, but there are people there who won't want to give it up. And so God is going to give them the victory he's prophesying today. But more important than that, he's going to give the entire earth to the church. And he'll get rid of everybody who doesn't want it. Either he'll conquer their hearts and they'll become willing subjects, Psalm 110, or they will be taken out so that the church will enter in. The Messiah will defeat and dominate the world. And where does the Messiah come from? out of Jacob, out of Israel. That's what you see in verses 17 and 19, out of the nation of God's church. The church's victory is certain because it comes from her Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. The victories of earthly Israel will only last for a while, though we'll see that happen. That's why the later prophets will speak of these prophecies and allude to these prophecies of Balaam, because they recognize they have not been completely fulfilled. The nation is still waiting for the final completion through the coming of Jesus Christ. The Messiah, the star, the scepter still needs to come. Notice here, Balaam is speaking of latter days, verse 14. He's speaking far into the distance. He's taking you and I to look past the horizon up to the hills and beyond. Jesus Christ in the latter days will be coming. See, he says in verse 17, I will see him, but not now. I'll behold him coming, but not nigh. He's speaking about distant things. He's speaking about a distant future, one that will be made final when he comes. Some of these victories of nations are not even yet. They're not even really nations that even exist yet. God is thinking ahead into the future and how he's going to plow through nations that don't even exist yet, but will be mighty nations. Verse 22, Asher refers to Assyria, the first mighty nation that will come and take over God's nation when there needs to be punishment in the diaspora. And then verse 24, Chittim refers to the Greeks and ultimately the Romans. Daniel 11 verse 30 says that they'll be coming on their ships from the Isles, as Greece did comes on its ships to come over and take over the Middle East, and then Rome after her. And these are the same kind of prophecies that are spoken of in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7. These succeeding kingdoms, and then Christ, ultimately the rock, with his rod, by the way, his scepter, that will dash these other nations that intend to have world power, but they can't do it. They take one out after the next. Assyria, the Greeks, Medo-Persians, Rome. None of them can hold on. None of them can get world domination, and none of them last forever. But the nation of Jesus Christ does, and that's being prophesied today. These nations, Israel might say, who? You know, most of these nations say, oh, right, we're going to have victory. Some of these nations, who are they? God is prophesying far beyond what they can even imagine, ultimately to the coming of Jesus Christ. This Messiah will be the mighty King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the scepter and the star. And the scepter and the star are symbols in the ancient world that represent royal rule, dignity, and dominion of a king. And Jesus will be that par excellence. There will be no other king when he comes. And his kingdom will last forever. Let's think about the scepter. The scepter will come out of the church and rule the world on behalf of the church. The scepter, again, is a king's tool. It's like a staff. It represents authority. You can think of King Ahasuerus with Esther. He extends his scepter of mercy so she can stand and be blessed. But if he wanted to, he could say with the scepter in his hand, kill. This ultimate authority over the lives of others, that's what Jesus Christ has. Remember in John chapter 5, it is his voice that will raise the living and the dead. Some unto destruction, some to enter his kingdom of heaven. It is his voice, and it is Jesus Christ who will speak and judge the living and the dead and send some to hellfire forever and bring others into eternal life. It's already been prophesied about. Genesis 49, verse 10, Jacob's prophecy that the scepter, the lion of Judah, will come and rule. It's prophesied about in Psalm 2, verse 9, one of the most quoted psalms about Jesus Christ. He's the king. He's the anointed king, and he has a scepter, and he will destroy his enemies. Very much the imagery of Daniel, and very much the imagery in Revelation about Jesus. Psalm 45, verse 6 that we sang today, quoted of Jesus in Hebrews 1, verse 8. He has a scepter of his power, a rod, where he will rule all the nations and his kingdom will be forever and ever. Psalm 110, verse 2, the same thing. The most quoted Old Testament scripture in the New Testament. Psalm 110, the entire psalm, but verse 2 speaks about that scepter. He has that authority, that scepter. He is the King of Kings, and he will dash to pieces all other nations. He'll get them out of the way, wipe clean, and start the building of his New Testament kingdom that will expand through the whole earth. Remember, as one commentator points out, where is Balaam from, this prophet? He's not a godly prophet, although God speaks through him against his will, ultimately. Where is Balaam from? He's actually out of a similar area that Abraham has come from. He's from Mesopotamia. And it is a profound thing to consider that Mesopotamia in the ancient world, Mesopotamia was the center of the national development of the ancient world. And so Balaam, this prophet coming from where the development of the nations, the kingdoms of the ancient world come to take over all the world, all the nations, if they could, of the world, he's the prophet from that area. But what does he prophesy? He doesn't prophesy that any other nation is going to be able to do this. Only the nation that is left under God and of his Christ. There will be a worldwide nation, one nation under God because of King Jesus, who is the scepter and holds the scepter. And he prophesies that through the prophet that comes from the nation where all the nations at that time are coming from. Let's think about the star also. Where is Balaam from again? From the east. And he prophesies about this star rising out of the east. Matthew 2, verse 2. The star of Bethlehem, prophesied here today. Jesus is the star, and there will be a star that shows the sign that he has come. And so, where do the wise men come from to see this star in the Gospel of Matthew? In all the Gospels, they come from the east. They come from the land of Balaam. They come remembering and knowing this prophecy of Balaam so long before in the distant future. Now they come because the star of the east has risen and is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is this star. He is the bright morning day star, as referred to in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, and Revelation 22, verse 16. Jesus is this star, coming with victory. Hebrews 1 verse 2, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. These are the days that Balaam is prophesying about. I see in these latter days, but I don't see now. I see much later. I don't behold now. It'll be much later. And these are those latter days. Jesus Christ, the King, has come. And God now speaks through only him, this last prophet, his Son. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Jesus was manifest in these last times for you. The scepter of Judah, the lion of Judah, the star of Jacob has come. He has come in these last days, these last times for you. Ephesians 1, verse 22, God has put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus is on his white horse in the Revelation, coming, already conquering and to conquer. He is in the process of worldwide domination. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. So here is what you have to look forward to, beloved, with Jesus Christ, your King. Revelation 11, verse 15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, when he shall reign forever and ever. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Psalm 72, verse 8. Often this psalm quoted for works of missions. That's what you have to look forward to, so here's what you can say. Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And that's one of the images given of Jesus Christ in the Revelation. Not only standing on the earth, one foot on the earth, one foot on the sea. And he roars with the voice of mighty waters. Here's what you can say, beloved. Right now you can say it. You can look forward to the consummation of it at his second coming. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 55. That's what you get to say. You have ultimate victory in King Jesus. But it's not what everybody gets to say. Those who are against King Jesus will have the experience of what we see with Balak and Balaam today. In verses 14 and 25, here's a picture of the end of the world. They go away defeated. Rather, ultimately, they are sent away defeated. And ultimately, in the prophecy, they will be destroyed. Satan and death and the kings and kingdoms of this world and their spokesmen are completely defeated and sent away. But you will stand at Christ's right hand on Judgment Day. And you, on Judgment Day, will judge the nations with him. The kingdoms of this world. You will enter into the joy of your Father's kingdom. You will inherit the earth. Move forward with hope, beloved. This should affect the way you live your life. Move forward with confidence. Do not be insecure. In the end, you win as more than conquerors. Face your future. It is bright. The day star is rising in your hearts. The bright morning star, Jesus Christ, he has come. And he is coming. And what he shows you in this oracle today, though it's in the distant future of them, it is not very distant for you. Christ has secured your final future. All is well. He doeth all things well. You can rest assured. You can move on in confidence because Christ has secured your final future. Let us pray. King Jesus, we thank you for this oracle, for this vision. We need to see our future so that we can face it and we can walk toward it with confidence. We thank you that you come out of your church and you work on behalf of your church. And you are developing this kingdom throughout the world now, having come the first time. And when you come at the consummation of your kingdom the second time, it will be completely final. And our future will be totally secure. But because this is true forever and ever, amen, we can be confident now. We can rest assured and feel and sense and know this security. As we pray, thy kingdom come. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Not only is this so secure and sure because it is final and forever and ever, it is total throughout the earth. There will be no kingdoms, including the principalities of the heavenly places. There'll be no one left to try to destroy or attack or hurt your kingdom anymore. And we trust that your church militant that is often suffering martyrdom will particularly be encouraged and say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to be prepared. Whatever you might have us face, let us be the rock because of you, the rock that has established this for us on the cross and in your resurrection and in your ascension, and that you will be coming back for us. O Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Keep this vision, this prophecy, this oracle before our eyes. Let us see that it too has been fulfilled even more in your first coming, and it will be finalized in the second coming. But because you are King Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, this is already true and will be completely true for us. As we go out today, O Lord God, and distribute the gospel tracts, let us go out with confidence. Let us go out with courage. Let us go out secure because of the security of the kingdom of God inaugurated, being spread throughout the world, and that will be consummated at your second coming. So we do pray in the Spirit as your bride. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And all your people said, Amen.